Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
You know, we were created to worship God. We were created to love on Him. Created a spiritual priesthood to offer up sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. You know, and sometimes the busyness of life and responsibilities and cares, it's hard to get into that place. Place of worship. Place where you get in and you just get lost, you get deep, you just forget about everything else. And your focus is just on Him. Tonight I'm so grateful to be here in His presence with you. And tonight I want to visit with you a story in the Bible that I'm pretty sure everyone here is really familiar with. But in this story is such a beautiful picture. And I believe an extremely powerful message for us today. When we think about Esther, we think about the book of Esther. Probably the most common thing that comes to mind is how she showed great bravery and courage. And as she stood before the king, knowing that her very life could be taken from her and that she could be put to death, because you couldn't just go and present yourself to the king. It was against the law. You had to be summoned. You had to be called. But there was a man named Haman, and he had plotted to destroy the Jewish people in that area, in that region. And Esther purposed in her heart to go and to put everything on the line, to stand before the king and foil the plan of Haman and preserve her people at whatever cost. And she did that very same thing. But tonight, I want us to look at the book of Esther, and I want us to look at a different area of it. I want us to look at her early life. See, Esther was orphaned when her mother and her father died. And she was taken and raised up by her older cousin, Mordecai. Mordecai took her up under his wings and raised her. And they lived in the kingdom of Persia under the rule of King. Yeah, there's some funny words in the Bible. I'm telling you, God's got a sense of humor. Ahasuerus, or King Xerxes, well, however you would pronounce it. But he was the king of that time. And Esther and Mordecai are there. And, you know, the Bible talks about how this king, he was over 120-some provinces. He had conquered a lot of land, and he had put on this feast, and this feast lasted 180 days and 6 months. And during the feast, he was basically showing off all that he had. And in the process of it, man, he was strategizing on what territory he was going to take next. And he was having this big old party, and there was all the expenses. Everything was valuable. I mean, he just laid it all out there. And for 6 months, they partied and he celebrated. And after that was done, he threw another feast. And he threw this feast for 7 days. And during this feast of 7 days, he began to kind of get a little tipsy. And the Bible says that when his heart was merry with wine, he called for his queen Vashti to come and to put on a royal crown and basically flaunt herself and show her beauty before all of the people that were here at this feast. But the Bible says that the queen refused, and the king became furious that she denied and refused to come and present herself. And after the counsel of one of the king's wise men, the king made a decision that there be a decree that was sent out that Queen Vashti would never be able to come and stand before the king ever again, and that her royal position be given to someone else. And I want to tell you, and this wasn't even part of my notes, but it's just on my heart. Don't ever let somebody take your position in the kingdom of God. Queen Vashti was rebellious and she refused. She was disobedient. And it cost her position in the kingdom. For your spot is your spot. Let's go to Esther chapter 2, verse number 8. We'll pick up there. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace, into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. The women here were given into the care of one of the king's officials, and his name was Haggai. He was basically given charge to help these women prepare for the service of the king, to present themselves to the king. And if you read it, Haggai favored Esther. Talked about how he was given everybody, all these women, beauty preparations and things that were needed to prepare themselves to, you know, for the king. But Esther got a little bit extra, and she got maidservants to tend to her, and she was also moved into one of the best places into the house that the women were positioned. I look at that, and I see how Haggai was rooting for Esther to become queen. Verse 12, verse 13. So that each young woman's turn when it came to go into king, after she had completed 12 months of preparation according to the regulations for the women, for thus were the days of their preparation apportioned, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters to the king's palace. You see, each one of these women had a period of 12 months. They had a set time. Somebody say, set time. There was a set time for them to get prepared. And Haggai was there to give them everything that was needed in their preparation. And they could choose whatever it is that they wanted. They could adorn themselves however they saw fit. They could choose whatever clothing that they wanted to put on, headdress, jewelry, you name it. They could choose how they stood before the king and how they looked. But Esther was a little bit different. Verse 15. So now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. You see, Esther was different from all other women. Rather than going with her own desires and her own ideas of what she should look like and try to win the king over, Esther chose to take close care and heed the advice of Haggai. You see, this Haggai knew what the king was looking for in a woman. He knew what the king liked. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe Esther was a pretty wise woman. I'm trying to, like, y'all gotta bear with me. My spirit is like wanting to jump about 10 minutes ahead and get into something. So I'm trying to slow down and kind of lay a foundation so you understand context, because how many know that context in the Word of God is everything? So Esther chose rather to heed the voice of Haggai and allow him to instruct her as to how to prepare herself. And then verse 17, it says, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I find myself right now in this season with a deep desire to be pleasing to my king. I find myself looking in the mirror deeply to find out what's wrong with me, what can be changed. And I think about how, you know, some of the things that Jesus said when the religious leaders were around, he called them whitewashed tombs. In other words, they were beauty on the outside, they were beautiful and perfect on the outside, but on the inside they were full of dead bones. And that's some strong language. And they also, in another portion he talks about, he says, well, many will come to me in that day, and they will say, Lord, Lord, well, didn't I prophesy in your name? And didn't I cast out demons in your name? And he'll say, well, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I do not know you. And I think about these scriptures, and it just caused me to examine myself and say, God, what's on that? I got a suit on, and only on the outside, you know, I'm all dressed up. I look real nice, but what's in my heart? Is what's on the inside, is it pleasing to God? Does he delight in me? Does he delight in my heart? When we look past the outward appearance, what is here? And the Bible talks about how out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I begin to listen to myself, and I listen to my beautiful wife, and I think about the things that come out of my mouth sometimes. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, God, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? And it caused myself to cry out to God and say, God, I need something. There's some cleaning that's got to take place. I need help, God. I can't keep living the way that I'm living. I think that my heart is right towards God. And yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that he shed his blood for the remission of my sins. But God, when he comes back, am I really ready? Am I really ready? And what is he looking for? And I looked at this this portion of scripture in Esther, and I kept seeing the same thing over and over and over. And you know what it was? It was the man Haggai. We get in the book of Esther and we think about Esther and we think about the plot of Haman and everything else, but it was this guy that stood out to me. And I believe the Holy Spirit was showing me that Haggai is a type or a shadow of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And I begin to think about how Haggai and Esther, they work together and they accomplish great things. I don't know about you, but I tried to get things right without God. It didn't work. Man, I read Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of a Highly Effective People, and I tried all the help, the self-help books and all the things that the world says. I didn't get no better. It didn't change my heart. It was only in the presence of God. It was only walking with him and spending time with him. It was only allowing his word to dwell in me richly and change me. That's the only thing. And so I was looking at it, and Haggai was given to the women to prepare a bride. Jesus. Can you put John 16 and 7? I just want you guys to see scripture. So I can talk and I can tell you everything, but the word of God is where the power is at. John 16 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." You see, Haggai was given to the women to help him prepare a bride for the king. And Jesus said, I've called it. I've given somebody. I'm sending him to come alongside of you. He's your helper. He's your paraclete. But yet we try to sanctify ourselves without the Spirit of God. We try to mold and shape ourselves with our own strength and not allowing ourselves to Haggai was given to the women to instruct them and help them in their time of preparation. Can you put John 14, 26 up there? "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." God has given us his Spirit to teach us. I don't know about you, but when my bridegroom comes, I want him to take me. I want him to take me to the place that he's prepared for me. But I want to make sure that I'm a delight to him. So how do I find out what he's like? I need the help of the Spirit of God. It says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish to him. Neither can he know them. They must be spiritually discerned. Jesus is the Word of God. If I want to get to know Jesus, I need the Spirit of God. I need my spiritual Haggai to begin to open the book and open my eyes to be able to see what Jesus is like. Jesus, what do you like? What do you like your bride to be? How do you like your bride to walk? How do you like your bride to talk? How do you like your bride to be adorned for you? One of the greatest days of my life was one Saturday hot morning, June 4th, when my father-in-law took his daughter's hand and walked her down this boardwalk. And I looked and I saw my wife, and I saw her beauty, and it literally took my breath away. I literally lost my breath when I saw her. And Pastor Alex, he saw it. He gave me a big old hug. He said, "You're going to be okay." And I'm thinking about this story, and I'm thinking about how that's how I want Jesus to see me. When Jesus comes back and he's looking for his bride, I want him to look at me. I want him to look at you, and I want us to take his breath away. I want him to admire the beauty of his bride. Because he's looking for a bride that's pure and faithful. And I kept thinking about how the women, the Haggai would give the women anything that they wanted. They could adorn themselves however they wanted. And it talks about one of the things that he gave them was beauty preparations. And I'm like, okay, well, that just, I'm thinking, okay, maybe women's stuff to clean themselves and get all beautified. I looked up the word preparations in the Hebrew, and I was like, just wowed. It's tamruk or something along the lines of that. Just butchered it for the Hebrew people. I'm so sorry. But the root of the word in Hebrew, it means to polish. It means to scrub, to cleanse. It means, in other words, it's something you take and you begin to exfoliate. I'm scrubbing. I gotta get all of that junk off of me. Pastor Mike, he'll know, oil-based stain, worst thing. You get some of that stuff on you and you can't just go and wash your hands and lather it up with a little bit of pump soap. It doesn't work that way. You got to put some pressure. You got to get some mineral spirits. You got to get under your fingernails and you got to dig and put pressure to clean yourself up. And Haggai, gave these women beauty preparations. Everything was given to them so that they could cleanse and they could prepare themselves for the king. And here the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Man, I done jumped way past where I was supposed to be. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me give you the scripture reference for that one. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians, I'm messing the guys up in the back there. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I don't know about you, but the God that I serve, the God that loves me, says in his word, he is a jealous God. He said he is a jealous God. And we as his bride should be desiring to clean ourselves up, to be holy and pure and righteous before him. We shouldn't be cheating on Jesus. We shouldn't be sleeping around on Jesus. But cleansing ourselves, getting that old, whatever it is, a little stone thing, and you get the stuff off your feet. Sorry, that's just a visualize when I think about it. Some of that stuff's rough. You got a callus on your foot or something? You gotta work at that thing. Y'all know, see, y'all laughing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But for real, because we've been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we've been in this world and we've been hurt and we've been beaten and we've been in some bondages and our heart's been hardened and we got a bad attitude and we got this and got that and all these things wrong with us and everything else. And sometimes, man, you gotta really, really rub that stuff off. I need some help. Get a couple more hands on there. Hold me down. Just want to be clean for my king. Just want to be clean for him. Praise the Lord. Haggai favored Esther. Gave her extra stuff. Rooting her on, wanting her to be the one that got the crown. Church, we got the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Can you put up Philippians 2:13 for me? We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and he's your greatest encourager. He's your greatest cheerleader. He wants to see you as a bride without spot or blemish more than you want to be the bride without spot or blemish. He's there rooting you on, leading you in the path of righteousness for Christ. For his name's sake, he's there and he's, whew. He said, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Jesus don't like that. Don't wear that. Don't hang out with them. Filthy, bad company corrupts good morals. Sometimes you got to separate yourself. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. I'm different. I'm changed. I'm redeemed. I'm a son. Hallelujah. Of the Most High God. All glory. Hallelujah. I've been betrothed. Hallelujah. I'm betrothed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, there's a ring on my finger. He loved me, so he put a ring on it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Hallelujah! For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. God didn't leave you to clean yourself up by yourself. He gave you the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. In other words, he's now equipped you and giving you the power to overcome. He's giving you the power to abstain from things, to resist temptation. He gives you a way of escape. He gives you the power to say no. I can't do that anymore. I'm new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. I used to sleep around. I'm faithful now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 12 months they had to prepare. 12 months, a set time, an allocated time for them to prepare, because there was going to be a time when they were going to have to go and stand before the king. Come on, somebody say set time. Set time. 6 months of oil of myrrh, and I began to look at that. And the thing that just kept coming to mind was death, and how you're just preparing yourself for death. And I think about how we've been crucified with Christ. We live, and it's no longer us that lives, but it's Christ that lives in us. You know, you want to be a bride that's without spot or blemish, you got to die to self. You got to put that old man in the grave. You got to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created in true righteousness and true holiness. There's a time of preparation, because we're going to see the king. You see, Esther was a smart woman. She didn't waste her time. She had 12 months. She didn't wait around and just fool around for 11 months. And then the last months, you know, rush around to try to get all pretty and put lipstick on. And it's all on the side of her cheek. And she got the powder stuff that goes on your eyelids. And her hair's all jacked up. And I'm ready. I'm ready to see the king. You ain't ready to see the king. No, you need another 12 months. Ooh, praise you, Lord. Ooh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Ooh. Man, I'm glad, church. I'm glad that God... I'm glad God didn't save me and then say, I'm taking you home. I wouldn't be ready. I got a stench. I need some work done. Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Ah, hallelujah. We have a church up in here tonight. She didn't waste time, but used it wisely, following and heeding the advice of Haggai. She didn't leave her appearance to her own doing. You see, the women had the opportunity to adorn themselves with whatever they wanted. And I just kept coming to mind how we, as believers, we can try to dress ourselves up however we want. But when we stand before the king, your acts of righteousness, he's not going to be pleased with. It's a filthy garment. And I kept thinking about how we can put on all this stuff, but the only thing that's really going to bring a delight to him is the righteousness of Christ. For he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is conforming to his image. That's what he's looking for. We stand before God and we try to say, well, I've done this, God, and I've done that, and I've given money to the poor and this and that. And you know, well, that's great, but if you've got any self-righteousness in your heart, if you think that you have merited anything to get you into heaven, you've missed it. You've missed it. It's a filthy garment. Can we put up John 14:3? I'm almost done. It's a short word. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's good news. That's great news. But also, it's kind of scary. Because if you look at Mark 13, 32, and 33, if you'll put that up there for me. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. You see, Christ is coming back for his bride. But we don't know when that day is coming. So we got to make ready every single day. We got to make sure that if he cracks the sky tonight, if he comes to bring us home, I got to be ready. I can't fumble in the bathroom and looking for the makeup and all of this stuff. I got to be ready. I got to have oil in my lamp. Do you hear me tonight, church? Tonight, I want to tell you this, that if you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you have entered into a covenant of marriage. You have entered into a covenant of marriage with the Lamb of God. He left and he went to prepare a place. He's preparing the bride chamber for you, for me, for all of us in him. And when he left to go prepare that bride chamber, he left his spirit. Put his spirit on the inside of us to conform us, to get us ready, to prepare us, to clean us up. And he's coming back. I'm telling you, he's coming back. There is such a, I don't even know what the right word is, but there is such a desire in my heart. Because I know it just seems to me that, man, this is coming quickly. Amen. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to go to a place that wasn't prepared for me. I want to go to the place where my King is at preparing for me now. But it's important for us, church, to examine our lives. You see, when I was looking at this word, I kept thinking too how where are we at right now? We're in the time of preparation. We are in the time of preparation right now. And we don't know, but God could just say, go. And then he comes. I want everybody here tonight to be ready. I want Christ to delight in me. He has given so much. He has laid down his life and poured out and shed his blood for us. What does he want in return? He wants us. He wants us. He wants a bride without spot or blemish. I tell you tonight, church, that we must make ready for, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He is coming. Be ready. Be ready. Please stand to your feet tonight. This is not a word to condemn. This is not a word to beat you up. But it's a word to encourage you to strive. Pastor Mike talked about having a spirit of excellence. And doing everything for the glory of God and doing everything the best of our ability because he's worthy. I want to encourage you tonight, church. You know, Paul talked about it and he said that he had not yet attained. Ain't nobody in this sanctuary tonight is perfect. All of us have things to work on. And whatever it is that we need to do in our lives, whatever the Holy Spirit is pinpointing in our lives, he's going to give us the strength to overcome those things. And I'm testifying tonight. There were things in my life that I knew that I had to change. Things that I knew I had to change. And I cried out, and I tried so many times in so many years, and I bombarded heaven with floods of prayers and cries and tears because I needed help. But I was trying to do it in my own strength. I was trying to do it in my own wisdom. And it wasn't until I began to lean and lean on the Holy Spirit and to understand that He's there, that He's my helper, that He knows just how to clean me up. And I began to lean on Him. And I'm telling you, people used to think I was crazy because I'd be walking down the road or something and thoughts would come into my mind. I say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. People think I'm crazy, but they don't know the war that was going on in my mind. They didn't know what I was battling with. This is real. This is a war. You're dealing with your flesh. And the only way to suppress and put that old man back in the ground is to yield to the Spirit of the living God. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And whichever side that you pick is going to be the winning side. If you side with your flesh is going to rule. But if you side with the Spirit of God, if you take your spiritual Haggai and you listen to His voice and you allow Him to lead you, everything that needs to be addressed in your life will be handled. Every addiction, every broken heart, everything. For I'm talking about, we serve the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. His Spirit. His Spirit. So I want to ask you tonight just to lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven. And I want you to just to talk to God for a moment. He loves you. He is madly in love with you. The dowry's been paid. The covenant has been established. He's building the place. He's awaiting the moment to come back and get you. There's going to be a loud shout. There's going to be a herald. There's going to be an announcement that the bridegroom is coming, and he's going to come, and he wants to sweep you up off of your feet. He wants to take you to a place where he wipes away the tears, where there's no more death, that there's no more sickness, where there's no need for light, because he will be the light. He wants to take you and sweep you up and carry you into this most beautiful eternity. But he's looking for a bride that's clean and pure. Father, only you know what's in our heart. We can put on a show sometimes, Father. We can you know, put on a facade, and we can look and appear to have it all together. But you know what's on the inside of us, God. You know that behind closed doors we cry out and we weep because we need help. Now we've got areas that we're struggling with, hurts that need healing, and we feel lonely, depressed, suicidal, don't want to live like that. We yell at our wives, we yell at our children, we tell people off, we got road rage, we can't be thankful, and so on and so forth. God, you said that the heart is, it's desperately sick, who can know it? But you know it. And I ask you tonight, Father, that you would work in us your desire, that you would lay us on the operating table, and you would begin to touch those areas, and you begin to straighten us out and clean us up. For I want to spend eternity with you. I want to spend eternity with you. For you are Him whom my soul loveth. You are He whom my soul loveth. Father, I pray that every person in this sanctuary, God, you would strengthen them, that you would teach them how to lean on you. For you said that when we are weak, we are strong, because our strength is in you. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. the things that we think that we can't overcome. You are our glory and the lifter up of our head. You are the one that changes our countenance. When we fly off with all of this stuff and all our words, and we're speaking things that curse people rather than speaking blessings into their life, you can change that. And we want to work with you, just like Esther worked with Haggai. We want to work with you and lean on you to prepare us, to beautify us, adorn us. And Holy Spirit, you know just what Jesus wants. And you're on the inside of us, cheering us on. Lead us. Lead us tonight. Lead us. Lead us. Lead us tonight, God. I don't want to have a bad attitude anymore. I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to feel alone. I don't want to feel abandoned. I don't want to be depressed. I want to love people. I want to see people the way you see them. I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want people to see me. I want to see them. I want them to see the Christ in me. Have your way in our lives. That when it's time for us to stand before you, that you would be pleased. That you would be pleased and delighted in us. So tonight, in closing, I thank you. I thank you for the power to overcome, the power to change. The world doesn't have that. They have no power to change. There is no strength in them to walk in the righteousness that you desire, that only comes through you, Holy Spirit. So I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus, for giving us your Spirit. We want to love you more. We want to love you more. So, Father, I pray that you would bless each and every one tonight. You would touch us, God. Like even when we're sleeping, that you would give us dreams and visions, that you would wake us up and you would speak to us with that still, small, beautiful voice. That you would touch those areas so we can be changed. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise tonight. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you. It is in Christ's name that we pray. And everybody said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.